A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. It couldn't be clearer, could it? The almost universal human preoccupation with status, with the pecking order, and the way that Jesus, over and over again, turns that upside down. The first will be last, he says, and the last first. The people who think they can be saved by their wealth or their power will see the poor and the weak and the insignificant pass in front of them into heaven. And yet still, even after 2,000 years, we find it hard to accept that, hard to put it into practice. But it's the simplicity, the humility of children that will open the gate to heaven, not all our adult cleverness and pretension. It's their angels, Jesus says, that continually see the face of the Father. Now, angels, I think, are something of a stumbling block for many people in our technological society. It's tempting to think of them in terms of fairies or elves or gnomes, all very nice and appealing, fine for the kids, but not much good to us grown-ups. Or we see them as New Age, we associate them with bells and incense and recreational drugs. Not really for the serious believer. And yet, the Bible is crammed full of angels, from beginning to end, literally, from Genesis to the Apocalypse. Everybody remembers some of them. Gabriel coming to Mary to tell her about the impending birth of her child. Everybody remembers the heavenly host singing "Glory to God in the highest" to the shepherds. Everybody remembers the angels ministered to Jesus after his temptation in the desert. It was angels that told the women that he'd risen from the dead. But it's not just there. They're all over the place, not just in the Gospel. They're all over the Old Testament and the New. In Genesis, they come to visit Abraham. In Genesis, they tell both Hagar and Sarah that they're going to have children by Abraham. Jacob wrestles with an angel. Isaiah sees him in a vision. I could go on and on. And today's memoria tells us that every single one of us has a personal guardian angel. So we're never alone. We're never abandoned. We just don't often remember that we've got them there with us. You know, thinking about this over the past few days, I found myself repeating certain verses from Scripture that I've known virtually all my life. And here, I have to tell you that I grew up in the Presbyterian Church of Scotland. I am a Catholic, but I grew up in the Church of Scotland listening to the Bible readings in the 1611 translation, the King James Bible, or the Authorized Version, as it's often called. And I'm sure it's true that recent translations are more accurate, and in many cases they're easier to understand, but they're not nearly so memorable because they lack grace, they lack poetry. For instance, Isaiah says that the seraphim in his vision had six wings, and he says in the King James Version, "With twain they covered their face, with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. Now, isn't that lovely? The rhythm is part of the effect. Or the angel at the empty tomb, who says to the women, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen." I think that's gorgeous. Or when Jacob wrestles with the angel, he says to the angel, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me," which is a line of iambic pentameter. It's just like Shakespeare's blank verse, which, of course, is from the same period. And I'm sorry, but modern translations that say things like, "I won't let you go unless you bless me," just don't cut it for me. It was a great gift for me to hear that translation for my first 30-plus years. And I thank the Lord constantly for my Protestant formation. I hope I haven't scandalized you. Okay, one more thing about angels. Biblical scholars say that a visit from an angel in the Bible is to be interpreted as an encounter with the divine, with God himself. So, that must mean that if we have our guardian angels always with us, we're always accompanied by God. And if that doesn't make you feel humble and give up the fight for status and material benefits, well, what will? So, next time you get that sudden feeling of unexplained joy and peace and security, remember who is standing right beside you. It's just like Annie Lennox sings in one of her songs, "There must be an angel playing with my heart."